It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
So welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show for a Tuesday morning, the first day of October. And boy, it's going to feel like it here. It sounds going to be like 49 degrees tomorrow morning, according to Dave Murray. That's the coldest we've had so far since spring, right? For sure. It's going to be a little chilly, and then it's going to heat up again toward the end of the week. It's just such weird St. Louis weather. I'm sorry.
This is always the season where you just don't know how to get dressed in the morning. I have a sweater on, but again, it's always freezing in the studio. So even when it was the middle of June and it was 99 degrees out, I'm still in a jacket here in the studio. I've been preparing all year for this.
To dress for radio, for sure. Hey, by the way, did you see that Cardinals news conference yesterday? I watched it live.
A lot of people are not happy with what came out of that.
I watched it live, and I was really... really underwhelmed with Bill DeWitt and the enthusiasm. I kind of expected a little more enthusiasm from them yesterday. I'll have to say, all we got basically was, guess what? Change is coming. Right, Carl, is my computer up over here? This is basically what we got from the DeWitt yesterday.
We've always prided ourselves on drafting and developing our own players. And it's clear that we need to make significant changes to get back to this model.
They said, yeah, but you know, when you fired Matheny, I think Randy Carricker asked that question. When you fired Matheny, you said it's not okay for St. Louis fans for us to only win 80 games in the season? We have to do better than that, and that's why they fired Matheny. And Marmol's gone on two seasons now of not accomplishing any more than that, and he's still the manager.
I'll be honest, I think Marmol should be out. I think you need to start from scratch and rebuild. And they talk about, oh, we just need the better players. Okay, well, I'm sure that's a factor. Yeah, that's a key part of this. But management also needs to go. Just like if a company's failing, you can only replace the employees so many times, and at some point you have to look at the CFO. The CEO
manager.
And say, maybe you're the problem.
I think people expected more yesterday. Anyway, we'll talk to our friend Scott Warman. Broadcaster is going to join us here coming up. Longtime friend of mine and a great guy. He's going to join me here at 7:20. He's been covering the Cards and all kinds of sports on Bally for years now. So we'll talk to him about that in just a few minutes. Bottom of the hour, we're going to get to Stephen Williford from Gun Owners of America. And talk more about the, you know, good guy with a gun story and some of these issues that are currently before courts around the country. We're going to get to him at 7:35. But first, here are our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Have you reached out to President Biden about federal relief efforts?
No, I haven't reached out to him. I think he's sleeping right now, actually.
Donald Trump was on site in Georgia yesterday, where some of this flooding and the damage from Hurricane Helene was being cleaned up. And he was talking to Brian Kemp, the governor down there in Georgia. Obviously, that's a key state in this election. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris was on a plane somewhere and Joe Biden was at the beach.
I also want you to know, I'm committed to traveling to the impacted areas as soon as possible. But I've been told that it would be disruptive if I did it right now.
Come on, folks. For real. Come on, man. I don't know. Joe Biden claims that he's not going because it would be disruptive.
Stacey Johnson.
Yeah, that's dope. I love it.
We used to go to the clubs and her mm-hmm. Father Seville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kamala Harris won't do real interviews. She did interviews with a couple of former NBA players, and they weren't even didn't seem to be buying what she was talking about with all of her clubbing years ago.
I just think we need to lower expectations a little bit, because then we can all be pleasantly surprised if I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah, Claire Bear there. Former Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill talking about lowering expectations for the vice presidential debate tonight. They want you to know just right up front that Tim Walz is just he's not in the same league as this J.D. Vance character. I don't agree with everything J.D. Vance says. She said, I think he's not up to the job, but he's slick.
As sad as it is that their strategy is to lower expectations so that if they do slightly better, they're going to chalk it up as a win.
Yeah.
But here's what's even sadder. It's been effective. The expectations were so low for Joe Biden. Now, I think he clearly lost that debate, but they were also very low for Kamala Harris because of her word salad. So the fact that she was able to form a coherent statement, people were like, wow, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I really, and you know, you and I talked about that debate the day after, of course, it happened when we were live in Eureka. And I was saying, I don't know if there was a clear winner, but the days after, I feel like people, if anything, have been leaning toward Kamala Harris won the debate.
Well, the polls show that on performance, certainly, because she smiled and she was friendly and she didn't say anything. But, you know, people just came away with the impression that she was OK. And that's a shame because she's an empty vessel. Is what she is. She has no idea what kind of policies she needs to institute. She just wants to be a pretty face. That's pretty much what it comes down to. And Trump was glaring at the camera and looked angry, and he looked like an angry old man. And, you know, perception is reality. They have put out about a 2 minute long piece on Vance, which I thought is pretty interesting heading into this tonight. And he didn't use a teleprompter or anything. The guy is good. This was him talking about growing up in my basically hometown of Middletown, Ohio. Go to cut 10, please.
The world I grew up in was one where I think for the first time really in American history, you know, my parents' generation did not expect their children to necessarily have a better life than they did. And you saw that in all kinds of different ways. But, you know, there was this sense growing up in Middletown in the 1990s that a lot of people didn't expect the future to be better than the past. And that's a really unique and a really tragic thing. Jobs started to disappear from that community, drugs started to move in, hopelessness started to move in, and so a lot of people who really knew that the future would be better than the past actually found a world that was a lot more difficult and a lot more challenging.
Wow.
In the remaining time we have before this election, I think that's really what the Republican Party has to hone in on. You have to play to the emotions because, you know what, it's sad, but that's what the left cares about. They care about the color of the skin of the person they're electing, the gender, all of the things that really should not matter. That's what, if they're relatable, if they're the kind of person they could have a beer with. And I think that Laura Trump has done a good job of showing videos of Donald Trump with his grandkids that have been so touching. And you just don't see a lot of that because we know CNN and NBC, those networks are certainly not going to show that side of Donald Trump. And I think when you hear J.D. Vance, the left in a lot of cases just wants to associate him with, well, he's the guy who said the childless cat ladies, you know, and those kinds of things. Right. And it's this negative connotation. Well, this is a guy who grew up with basically nothing. He had such a hard life and he pulled himself up and look how successful he is. And they wanted act like that's a bad thing that he went to an Ivy League school. So I think showing that side of J.D. Vance and showing that side of Donald Trump is so key in these remaining days as we get closer to the election.
It's an American success story.
Absolutely.
Play cut 11 real quick, Carl. I know we're running a little long here.
I wrote Hillbilly Elegy because I wanted to give people a sense of what it was like to live in a community like mine. I didn't think a whole lot of stories were told about white working class Americans. I didn't think a lot of stories were told about people who were struggling with some of the problems we were struggling with, joblessness, drug addiction, and so forth. And I thought that I could tell a story that would make people understand my family a little bit better and maybe in the process understand the struggles of a lot of families.
Yeah, he grew up in a lower, not even a middle class family, a lower middle class family where they struggled on how they were going to pay their bills. He knows the truth of that much more than Kamala Harris or Tim Walz, I can tell you that. All right, coming up, let's talk a little bit more about maybe the Cardinals. Wow, and the news conference they had yesterday. What did you think? We'll talk to our friend Scott Warman when we come.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm back.
Exactly. The good news is that we have a strong group of young players, and we will continue to push for ways to get better in the short term. And our number one priority will be to lay the foundation for a sustained period of competitive excellence in the years ahead.
There you have it. That's Bill DeWitt there talking yesterday about this news conference. I know Bill is not like a high energy guy, but I was kind of expecting them to maybe bring a little more enthusiasm to the messaging yesterday. I don't know. I'm a fan. I want the team to do well. I've obviously been disappointed the last couple of seasons, but if you're going to hold a news conference to tell me how you're going to make things better next year, be kind of excited about it. I didn't pick up a lot of that. I mean, Mo was positive, but my friend Scott Warman's on the phone now. Of course, you know him as a longtime broadcaster for the St. Louis Cardinals pregame and Blues pregame and all that on Bally Sports. He's been around forever. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for getting up early and giving me some time this morning.
Hey, my dog gets me up early. I have no choice, buddy.
Hey, so what? Now, am I wrong here? What was your reaction to the news conference yesterday? I don't know what I was expecting, but I was expecting more than what I got, I guess, is what it comes down to.
I think that would be probably the case with most Cardinal fans. They were expecting more, and I think it's one of those situations where, you know, I heard change, and I also heard it wasn't the exact word, but patience. This is going to take some time, I think, were the exact words that were going to be used. And we covered the thing live on Bally's yesterday. And Jim Hayes had did a one-on-one with John Mozeliak. And one of the things that Jimmy had brought up with Mo was the fact that, hey, so we're talking about a rebuild, Bill. He goes, no, not a rebuild. This would be more of a reset.
Okay.
So I think what you're seeing is something that, look, this team hasn't performed to any expectations for anybody that's involved, whether it's us Cardinal fans, those who cover the Cardinals like me and others, or the team, much less the organization. So now you got to try to make some changes here. And again, when I use the word patience, I think what you're kind of telling you in a indirect way is, you know, don't expect a 100-win team here in the next couple of years. Now, with all that being said, they realize that there has been mistakes being made by the organization, and pretty much, Mark, they're out of touch with most teams in Major League Baseball. Whether you're talking about, when you're talking about development, because I think that was more of the focus than anything else.
Yeah.
So you're talking about development. You're talking about the farm system, and you, those of us that have grown up for years, you know this with Michelle, your wife, is the fact that, you know, they've had a great farm system, one of the elite for so many years. They've fallen behind, whether it's staffing, which is way below a lot of other teams that they want to try to invest in, or they are going to invest in. I also understand from an analytics standpoint, some of the stuff that they use for analytics is, I wouldn't say outdated, but behind other teams. So they want to get ahead of that. And I know John Mozeliak told our own Jim Hayes yesterday that the fact that, you know, they're not going to reveal all this stuff that they're investing in development for the farm system, because that really is key, especially when you think about we are a mid-market and not a major market compared to the Dodgers and Yankees. You don't have all this money that you can fly around. Now,
right.
The other part of the whole press conference is the fact that I know was disappointing to a lot of Cardinal fans is some of the money that's invested in the Major League roster will be pared down. What amount, we don't know, but will be pared down to put more of this investment and development and into the farm system. And Chaim Bloom, if you look at what he's done over his career, especially with the Rays have always had one of the elite developmental programs in a smaller market that's considered compared to St. Louis. And he's did an amazing job for many years in Tampa and then spent the last several years with the Boston Red Sox doing the same thing.
Right.
And now, obviously, with the Cardinals will take things over. The other story is, obviously, John Mozeliak will be president of baseball operations for one more year, and then Chaim will take over after that.
I know Ollie Marmol is obviously under contract. He just signed that new contract. But I feel like a lot of fans were kind of feel like, you know, you're kind of to blame for some of what we just saw play out with this last season. Do you think more change could be coming? Are you hearing that from fans as well?
Not really, Kim. I think you're pretty much they signed him to an extension. And I think John Mozeliak actually mentioned this away to some of the media after the original press conference, that he felt that Ali was going to be really excited with some of the changes from a developmental standpoint. And Kim, that's basically Ali came through the ranks as he had a very short career and went right into coaching and developing. And my understanding is this is some of the stuff that Ali has kind of talked to the ownership as well as management of trying to implement and build up the development of the organization. So I think, you know, those that maybe think, oh, well, Ali's the next one to go. I don't think Ali's the next one to go. Now, I know John Mozeliak did say that there are talks this week as far as what's going to happen with the coaching staff. He would expect some changes, but he didn't elaborate on any of that until they had conversations, I guess, with Ali and the coaching staff. So you would say that there are going to be changes, especially in the development, probably within the coaching staff. As far as the players are concerned, I think it's all up in the air, but it sounds to me, guys, honestly, if they're putting more investment in the development, at least for this upcoming season or next 2 years, that some guys may not be back. We can sit here and speculate.
Yeah,
we don't know, but obviously it's one of those situations where you would think that you're not going to see them investing a lot into big-time free agents or anything like that.
We will be watching for your reports on it. Scott Warman, thanks for your time this morning, my friend.
Great to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Always great having you on. Appreciate that. Appreciate him giving me some time. Knew we wouldn't get to Ackerman for a few days, so I wanted to get somebody on here to talk about that news conference yesterday. How did you feel? Feel free to send us a message down here. If you're on the Odyssey app, you can leave us a voice message, and we will play it back. Coming up, it's 2A Tuesday. We're going to talk to our friends from Gun Owners of America. We'll be right back.
To suggest you are either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away. I am in favor of the Second Amendment, and I believe we need to reinstate the assault weapons ban. And pass universal background checks, safe storage laws, and red flag laws.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
So, of course, that was Kamala Harris lying again about what she would do on guns. She claims to be a gun owner. Nobody's ever asked her exactly what gun is it that you own. She is on record as supporting a handgun ban when she was an elected official in San Francisco. So which Kamala Harris do you believe would be the question here? I want to welcome in our guest right now. They call him the hero of Sutherland Springs. You might remember that story if you don't remember him by name. Stephen Williford is the guy that opened fire on a young man who was trying to shoot up the First Baptist Church there in Sutherland Springs a few years ago down in Texas, and he's with us this morning. Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Always a place in America for a good guy with a gun. Thanks for being that guy.
Well, thank you very much.
What's your reaction, Stephen, when you hear Kamala Harris talking like that?
Well, Kamala Harris, make no mistake, she can change her rhetoric before the election, but her true colors will come through if she gets elected. And she is for banning AR-15s. She is for, she never met a gun control law that she didn't like. And she will do whatever she can to disarm you and make sure that you are unable to protect yourself so that you will rely totally on government for everything.
Well, yeah. She had been saying, you know, not too long ago that she supported the mandatory buyback. And then she comes out in the debate with Trump and says, oh, Tim Walz and I, we own guns. We support the Second Amendment, and has tried to backtrack on that statement that she made, what, a couple years ago?
Oh, she's made all kinds of statements. Back in 07, she made the statement that the sanctity of your own home, that they would come in if you thought you were safe in the sanctity of your own home, they would come in and make sure that you were properly storing your firearms.
Yeah.
You know, you're not coming into my home without a warrant and without good reason to come into my home.
Well, you know, I know that they recently talked about some more executive orders surrounding gun control. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, among other things, they keep talking about 3D printing and ghost guns and red flag laws. What's your take on all that?
So that horse is already out of the barn with 3D printing and stuff. You can't stop that. Criminals are going to do it anyway. It absolutely... you can't stop 3D printing. I just saw recently a man that was selling 3D printers for $500 a printer with already AR-15 and Glock lower receivers already programmed into it. So all you have to do is get the polymer and it prints them up for you. And it's $500.
Yeah.
You can't stop that. And it's ridiculous, you know. And since the founding of this nation and before the founding of this nation, you've been able to build your own guns. And that's what this is building your own guns.
Well, the difference is you're either a criminal and you have a criminal intent or you don't. And that's what they don't seem to ever want to talk about, the difference between those two things. Let's talk for a minute, Stephen, about your book. You've written a book called A Town Called Sutherland Springs, Faith and Heroism Through Tragedy. That harkens back to what happened there in 2017 there in your hometown.
Absolutely, and it's about heroism from my whole community and what happened inside the church and law enforcement, that were the first responders that came on after, I guess I was the first responder, but the ones that came after me and were able to save lives and stuff, the first responders, we have interviews from all of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's important for people to know that these scary black rifles that Kamala Harris wants to ban happen to be what you were able to pick up and engage this shooter with, right?
Absolutely. I used my AR-15 and the murderer had on class 3 body armor and a ballistic bulletproof helmet. Had I not had an AR-15 and our Second Amendment defending that right, I probably would have been counted among the dead that day. Because I had built my own AR-15 and I designed it for shooting and moving and competition. Please go to gunowners.org, sign up, be part of that solution. We're fighting the assault weapons ban, if you will. We call them modern sporting rifle bans. We're fighting it in Illinois and in Maryland and other places, and if the Supreme Court hears it, they will overturn it nationwide.
I would agree. Yeah, Gun Owners does a great job on that. Gunowners.org is the website. If you want to find out more about Stephen's story, you can find his book on Amazon. It's in the Kindle format there as well. A Town Called Sutherland Springs, Faith and Heroism Through Tragedy. That remind people again. Remind people, Stephen, what happened to the shooter in that case after you engaged with him? He left the scene, didn't he?
He left the scene. He was able to get into his vehicle. I hit him 6 out of 6 rounds, but again, he had a ballistic bulletproof helmet and class 3 body armor, and he fled the scene. I flagged down a truck, and we chased him 11.6 miles. And in the end, he tucked the pistol up underneath his helmet and committed suicide. But I hit him in the side between the plates. I hit him high in the legs, busted one across his forehead, and the rest of the rounds went into the body armor.
Wow.
But and he hit the truck in front of me, shattered the windshield of the car behind me, hit the house behind me. I ran behind the truck for cover.
And you were barefoot when this was going on. Do I remember that part of the story?
Everybody remembers that part of the story. People say, I can't believe you didn't put shoes on. I said, you're lucky that I had pants on.
You know? No kidding. Well, thank you for being ready when the time came, right? I mean, that's kind of the key. You got to know how to react.
Well, and absolutely. I didn't have time to put shoes on because I kept hearing shots fired and knew that every one of those shots were aimed at somebody I cared about,
yeah.
A neighbor, a friend. You know, I'm fourth generation on the same property in Sutherland Springs. We're under 600 total population. And so if you can imagine, I grew up here. I knew almost everybody in the church.
Wow. Well, Stephen Williford, it's an honor to talk to you, sir, and thanks for the work you're doing on behalf of gunowners.org. We appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Yep, take care of yourself. Good to get you on here. Again, his book there is called A Town Called Sutherland Springs, Faith and Heroism Through Tragedy, and you can pick that up on Amazon and read it. I'd love to read the story.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember that, but not well. And so I was going back and reading about it, and it's wild. It's just crazy. 26 people killed, yeah. 22 others injured. And yeah, the fact that he chased him just over 11 miles, and then he ended up killing himself. And it's crazy because I guess this 26-year-old shooter, Devin Kelly, was not supposed to even have a gun.
No, he was a
domestic violence military conviction,
yeah.
Right. But
yeah.
I guess, yeah.
And
so
it fell through the cracks,
yes.
As I remember. The military
didn't
pass it on to civilian authorities, and it wasn't in the background check. And I mean, just one more case where more laws wouldn't have made a difference. You have to enforce the ones that are on the books,
right?
For sure. All right, coming up, Kim, what are we going to talk about in Kim on a Whim?
Well, you know, we've talked about the St. Louis City Reparations Commission. They're trying to get people to donate to this, and it's not been very successful. Well, now they've come out with some more things that they'd like all of you to do to make sure that they address these historical injustices.
All right, we got that coming up. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
I want to tell all of you listening right now one critical way you can address historical injustices right here in the city of St. Louis. Do you want to know, Mark?
I would love to know that.
Well, according to the St. Louis Reparations Commission, you can donate money that would then be given as cash payments to black residents to address these historical injustices. They came out with these recommendations yesterday. They set up this commission, I think it was 18 months ago. So about a year and a half ago, they set up this commission and they said, hey, you can donate if you'd like to participate in this. Well, guess what? It's been a flop. They've made maybe $1,500, and I know that because I requested the information about it, and it was very depressing. So this is now their solution. They're saying that what they really want to do is they want the city leaders to be the ones to also come together and make these payments, but it goes far beyond that. Mark, what did you find that they would like to do?
So here's the deal. Anybody that can prove that they're a descendant of slaves, they want the city of St. Louis. So in other words, I mean, I pay into the coffers of the city and the earnings tax, even though I don't live in the city. If you live in the city, they want to take your tax dollars and maybe some federal tax dollars and hand out $25,000 checks to anybody that can prove that they have suffered from discrimination, segregation, poor living conditions, were related to slaves. I mean, they really opened up this broad spectrum of people who might qualify because they want to give away as much money as they can. Get this. They even want to hand out checks to people whose family at some point lived at the Pruitt-Igoe Housing Project or Mill Creek Valley or the McCree neighborhoods. These were subsidized federal housing projects. The government built these homes, these high rises, and gave people apartments there. And now you're a victim if you lived there.
But it goes beyond that, as I should say. But wait, there's more. Other recommendations from this commission include they would like a memorial or a museum, and they want a public apology from the city. And Mayor Tashara Jones' office has come out and said, quote, "We're grateful for the commission's hard work and we'll be reviewing the report." I guess they're going to try to finalize it by the end of this week.
Oh, but there's more. They also want housing grants made to any descendant of an enslaved person, an investment in the revitalization of neighborhoods, and addressing health care disparities. So there's a whole bunch of money, and they want to use RAM settlement money, unspent American Rescue Plan money, which was put here for COVID, and maybe some of that marijuana tax revenue.
What a joke. I mean, nobody listening would ever... Slavery was awful. Like, no one would ever say that was justified. That was not a good part of our country's history.
No.
Or I should say our world's history. This was not just obviously happening here in the United States. But trying to pay somebody, a black person here in the city, in this case, $25,000, while I'm sure people would like $25,000... Please explain to me how that's going to right the wrong. It's just not. Reparations are ridiculous. You've seen it happening in California and other wackadoodle liberal states. Obviously, with St. Louis City being crazy liberal, like a mini California almost to some degree, they're trying to do it here. And you know what? Tashara Jones is going to be the first person to basically get on her hands and knees and bow to them and say, yes, we're going to do this.
Remember, a judge stepped in and said that it was part of the city's plan to give away $500 a month to people as guaranteed basic income was unconstitutional because the Missouri Constitution says you can't give somebody government money for doing nothing. My guess is that
they do that all the time.
Well, they do, but that same law would apply to this. If they tried something crazy like this, I think a judge, somebody would challenge it, and I think a judge would stop it. There's nobody alive today who was a slave, and there's nobody alive today that owns a slave that I know of in the United States. So how do you determine who would even qualify to get any of this money? I mean, honestly, when I did my DNA test with Ancestry, it came back that I had like 3% of my DNA from the western coast of Africa, right? Now, I don't know where that came from. I don't know what point in my lineage that became part of my DNA, but could I go get 3% of whatever amount they're going to pay? I mean, how do you prove that I don't have an ancestor that was a slave? How do you know that? We're a melting pot in this country.
Is this Reparations Commission, is this sponsored by Ancestry.com so that more people are driven to go to Ancestry.com to see if they can somehow trace their lineage back to slavery? Because that's apparently what you have to prove. So unless you go and I don't even know where you would go to even trace this back unless you did it on, say, something like Ancestry.com. But a bunch of people, I'm sure, are trying to get a hold of that so that they can figure out if they would qualify for this.
I mean, I might be judged by the color of my skin if I went and applied for that.
Well, and you're a man, and that's offensive because it's toxic.
It's true. I'm just saying.
Do you want to issue a public apology, Mark? Just like the Reparations Commission wants from the city of St. Louis? Because clearly slavery...
I do.
I blame slavery on the city of St. Louis, and that's why they should apologize.
And my apology would go... Carl is my computer. My apology would go something like this.
Go yourself. Is that clear?
I think that would go over well. I think that maybe Tashara Jones should use that as
well. I should have testified in front of that commission, and that would have been my message. You're insane if you think you've spent 18 months figuring out a way to get another nickel of somebody else's money put in your pocket.
I want to know
insane.
I want to know what people think of this here in the city of St. Louis who might qualify for this. What percentage of those people think, yeah, this is needed, this is going to wrong
care.
The right?
It's a paycheck.
But, okay, I understand that that's obviously part of it, that people love the idea of quote-unquote free money.
Yes.
The chairperson of the commission said the real work is to continue to apply pressure. So while we know this is ridiculous and will probably never fly, they're never going to drop it. They're going to keep finding ways to make this happen.
Yep. Somebody, Beavis Shocker, somebody would need to step in and sue over that nonsense. There's no doubt about it. I think a judge would shut it down in a heartbeat for sure. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the vice presidential debate with the John Pudner. And a way you can help out David Lee's family. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.